The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night we make a toast to you, like isn't it nice that somebody had the presence of mind to speak up for you? Let there be light.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies, coming to you from our new off-the-grid offices. The Crude Life is off the grid, net negative, net zero, whatever that means. The Crude Life not only has community gardens, but also is completely off the grid. In fact, we are broadcasting this week in review from this very off the grid office. Also, our live interviews, radio features are also produced and recorded and done live off the grid. Folks, we are going to have a great time all summer long telling the story of how living the crude life has brought us off the grid for energy security, independence, freedom, and many other ingredients that represent that old-fashioned American dream. And what is more old-fashioned than the oil and gas industry? Folks, we've got a fantastic show. It was a busy week off the grid, not only planting our gardens, keeping up with our plastics and plants container garden, which we're showcasing and we are demonstrating to many of the people across social media, but also we caught up with Terry Edom, Canada's greatest export. We get an update from north of the border. Also, Lauren C. Scott, Dr. Lauren C. Scott, he writes the economic forecast for the state of Louisiana. Well, the Haynesville is red hot right now. In fact, the Haynesville, the Permian, and the Appalachia slash Marcellus slash Utica are making up about 75% of the drilling activity in the United States. Check in with the Haynesville this week. Also, we head out to the Appalachian Utica Marcellus. Talk with Joe Sinnott with Whitting Partners. And our weekly update with Evolution Hybrid. Guess what? They hit the great brick wall of supply chain. That's right. A little bit of some Chinese supply chain issues happening with the hybrid evolution project going on. Plus, we have some barbecue tips all summer long, including on today's very program. Who knows barbecue better than oil and gas professionals? They are in a class of pitmasters all on their own. Also, the music playing right now in the background that we ramp up as we go to a commercial break. Sometimes we like to give you a nice 30-second clip of it because it is Alma Cook, A-L-M-A Cook, Alma Cook. HearAlma.com is her website. She also works in the oil and gas industry with Cook Compliance Solutions. She is a compliance officer. Also, she is a professional singer-songwriter. Let's go ahead and turn up a little bit at Alma Cook here for the listening audience, and then we'll get right into Canada's greatest export, Terry Edom. Not so much of the whip cracking back in the Egyptian days, which I think a lot of people still have embedded in their DNA. Mine comes from a Catholic nun. Whap!
Okay, well, there's some modern equivalent. Yeah. You're not wrong. It's the there's a lot of people in the industry that are working feverishly to reduce emissions and come up with a new technology or carbon sequestration or you name it. And at the same time, there's a camp of people who are so terrified by the climate change narrative that they are utterly convinced that fossil fuels have to go. There's just no place for them in any future. And they're the ones that are driving the bus. We see that with in the United States with your Department of Energy. It's entirely staffed with people that have no oil and gas experience. And a good chunk of the people want oil and gas dead. And we have that in our federal government here. They don't want to hear about solutions that work with the system. They want the old system gone. And I've talked to people that are in the space that are developing new technology, and they have someone will have, there's a small company here, for example, that's developed a great new way to catch CO2 out of the exhaust flues of a natural gas fired boiler, say in an apartment building or something. It's a great tech. It works. They've raised money. They're selling these units all over the world. And if they go tell the federal government what they found, they're kind of like, nah, not really interested. Even though it's like real and it's working and it's not even living off the government teat for financing. It's they're doing it on their own. And there's more situations like that where these companies come up with something that's incremental breakthrough, but they just don't get support because there's that core element of activists that want the industry dead. And then what they're pushing in its place just isn't there yet. And it's just so draining trying to deal with that.
What's happening with your oil and gas activity up there? Do you have much of it? I mean, you're out of Calgary, so I would imagine you have some.
So it's actually doing quite well. I think like our natural gas production's hitting record levels and oil is right up there too. But Canada's kind of basically you could carve it into three pieces. There's the oil sands, which a lot of people know about, the 170 billion barrels of reserves. And I think that produces about 3.5 million barrels of oil now. So a lot, like that's probably 60% of Canada's total. And that just keeps on chugging. It's been, they spent hundreds of billions of dollars on infrastructure, building the mines for the above the mineable portion. The big pipelines have been laid. And so that just keeps chugging forever because it has a reserve life index of decades. So that will just keep going. Then we have northwestern Alberta shale region with big plays like the Montney and the Duvernay, which are sort of equivalent to Haynesville, Permian type stuff. Just it's shale and there's endless running room, or not near endless running room, it seems like. And so those are doing well and growing, and there's enough pipeline space for them. And then kind of in between those two is like the old conventional system, which is all of the legacy stuff, which is a bunch of vertical wells, thousands and thousands of vertical wells, a lot of low productivity stuff, not a lot of growth, but just keeps chugging along. So those three sectors, the oil sands will keep going forever. The shale plays will grow until they exhaust all the sweet spots, and then they'll go into some sort of decline. And then the conventional will just keep going until regulations squeeze it out of business. And it's probably similar in the U.S. minus the oil sands. You have the big shale areas, which are doing really well, but someday they'll start to go on a downward slope. And then the conventional part is just going to get attacked more and more and more.
To listen to the full-length interview with Terry Edom, Canada's greatest export, or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is now available on Substack. thecrudelife.substack.com. Daily updates from the Crude Life Substack page. Sign up today. There are both free and paid subscription levels. Stick around, folks. Coming up next, we head down to the Haynesville, where Dr. Lauren C. Scott gives us an update from Louisiana, East Texas, the Haynesville Shale Play, the Gulf of Mexico, the Mississippi River. There's a lot that goes into that whole area down there. My name is Jason Spies, and this is the Crude Life Week in Review. Folks, if you haven't checked out the newest products at mystore.com, you're going to want to do it today. Insect repelling lotion stick, all natural, only $9.99 with the promo code Otis. Pure chocolate energy chews with caffeine, $24.99 with the promo code Otis. Are you into being a vegan? Blue Foods Protein Bites, 6 bars per container, $10.99 with the promo code Otis. You are not going to find deals any better than this, folks. MyStore.com. Support entrepreneurs. Support my son, Otis, with the promo code Otis. All proceeds go to my son, Otis. That's why I have the promo code Otis. Go to mystore.com, go to mypillow.com, use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis. This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground with it.
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you folks for joining us. Coming to you this week from our off-the-grid offices, the Crude Life Week in Review. All right, let's get to our next interview. Dr. Lauren C. Scott, he writes the economic forecast for the state of Louisiana. He is a heavyweight in the oil and gas industry with over 35 years of consulting with BP, Exxon, plus many other major oil and gas companies. This is Dr. Lauren C. Scott.
I remember back in 2012-13, Lee Tillman, Marathon Oil, was on the program basically talking about what you're saying. How can they get that molecule to South America, over to Europe, in the cheapest possible way? And I know that in countries like Qatar, they've been basically bringing a lot of the American energy infrastructure over there to get set up to help some of the countries in that area. Is that connected at all to this, you know, the infrastructure that's been kind of being built over the last decade?
In which country?
Qatar comes to mind. Was another interview we did on the Crude Life, how a lot of companies were investing in the country Qatar for infrastructure to help with importing and exporting.
What is happening is you have an organization of countries called the European Union, okay? In other words, we call Europe.
Yeah.
Well, Europe has got a problem. They have very large chemical companies, especially in Germany. I mean, BASF has a site in Ludwigshafen, Germany, that has more people employed than the entire chemical industry in Louisiana at that one site. Their problem is they outlawed fracking in the EU. The Greens are very powerful there, so they outlawed fracking. And as a result, they have to import their natural gas from Africa, from the North Sea, or guess who? Russia. Matter of fact, Germany relies about 45% of their natural gas consumption comes from Russia, primarily through the Nord Stream pipeline. And as you know, what Russia has done is they've used that pipeline as a squeeze play on the EU. Anytime the EU starts taking the side of Ukraine, especially right after Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia would say, we have to do maintenance work on this pipeline. So they cut off the supply. Just to give Germany a sense of what's going to happen if they totally cut off supply. And they did that a couple of times, and then, of course, somebody sabotaged that pipeline. So what is happening is Europe is having to bring in that extra natural gas through another way, and that is through LNG tankers. And so Qatar saw this, and Qatar has lots of natural gas, so they started building facilities to LNG export facilities. We here in the United States started building them, especially, again, over in the Calcasieu Ship Channel. You've had a number of very large LNG exporters there, a number of large LNG exporters on the South Louisiana coast. And then we have a number of them that are still have announced they're going to build but have not issued a final investment decision yet. We expect a number of those to issue final investment decisions by the end of this year. So what you're seeing is in countries that export natural gas, like Qatar and like Australia, they're investing more in building liquefaction terminals. That is, they take raw natural gas and they liquefy it. They make it very cold. When they liquefy it, they bring it down to 1/600th of its volume, put it on LNG export ships, then ship it to Europe. And in Europe, what they have is regasification units, which they've been trying to build even more of, so they can take that liquid natural gas regasify it so that they can use it in power production, chemical production, going to people's residential stoves and that sort of thing. So you've seen a lot of, on the LNG side, you've seen a lot of infrastructure being built especially to help the Europeans through this problem that they've got right now.
You mentioned a couple of the political climates when it comes to energy. What is Louisiana's political bend or political perspective with oil and gas specifically?
It kind of, to no small extent, it kind of depends on the parish you're looking at. There are some parishes that are very open to these firms coming to their parish because they know that when they come, they bring lots of tax money. Because we're talking about plants that may spend as much as $1 billion to $2 or $3 billion building their plant. Well, guess what? That's going to go on the property tax rolls, and local governments are going to collect a slew of money to then fund either public schools, teachers, police forces, and whatever. So you have some parishes that, like Ascension Parish, which is right below me, where the governing bodies, the parish council, the sheriff's department, the school board, all these are very, they're very open for business. They say, bring it on. We love having these here. You have other parishes like St. James, which is about halfway between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, where there are a couple of NGOs, one with a funny name, Rise St. James, really should be called Depressed St. James. Huh. But I think they get most of their funding. Well, they're getting most of their funding from Soros, George Soros, initially. Now they're getting funding from Bloomberg, who's written a check for $30 million to try to stop plastic production in the United States. He wrote that check out, by the way, with a plastic pen using ink made out of crude oil. And then, as you probably might know, the EPA has recently set aside $300 million for NGOs to battle with the issue of social justice, that where these plants are located is sometimes predominantly near African-American communities. So in St. James Parish, St. James Parish is kind of not open for business. We're kind of closed for business. And so these companies are not coming there. And so, but in general, the state as a whole is very open to firms coming. They're offering something called an industrial tax exemption. They have a deal where you, instead of paying the full property tax in the first 8 years, you only pay 20% of the property tax for the first 8 years. Well, that's a lot of money. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to compete with Texas to get these plants. So we're offering them some tax benefits, some incentives to come here.
Are you still doing any speaking and still taking any work in?
As a matter of fact, I am. Well, number one, I'm about to go give a speech right now down in Gonzales, which is about 30 miles below us. So I'm getting ready to leave for that today at lunch time. I am still doing, we do a lot of economic impact studies. My firm is still very active. We just finished up some work for Entergy, which is the large power company down here. Because all these new firms are coming into this region, Entergy needs to build some more transmission lines to take electricity to them. Well, they're huge users of electricity. And in order to do that, they've got to go to our Public Service Commission and say, can we build this and put it in our rate base? And so one of the things we do is we try to show the Public Service Commission the economic impact of all these new firms that are coming into the area so that they will be more inclined to grant Entergy this request for more power lines. So we're working on that. We have a new firm coming in that's come into this very rural central, kind of east central part of the state called Sierra Technologies. And what they do is they take raw graphite from a mine in Mozambique, and they bring it up the river, and they refine it into the graphite that will ultimately go into making car batteries. And so they have. So we did an. We're in the midst of finishing up an economic impact study for them as well. So we're still very busy.
To listen to the entire interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is also available on Substack. Check us out at www.thecrudelife.substack.com. Sign up for our free or paid daily updates right there at www.thecrudelife.substack.com. Coming up next, Project Evolution Hybrid hits the great brick wall of supply chain issues in China. My name is Jason Spies, and this is the Crude Life Week in Review. The music heard on The Crude Life is written and performed by singer-songwriter and safety compliance officer Elma Cook. Elma Cook is a singer-songwriter as well as an industry professional. Check her out at hearelma.com. That's hearelma.com. Or support her industry work at Cook Compliance Solutions. That's Cook Compliance Solutions. This is Elma Cook. Folks, if you haven't checked out the newest products at mystore.com, you're going to want to do it today. Insect repelling lotion stick, all natural, only $9.99 with the promo code Otis. Pure chocolate energy chews with caffeine, $24.99 with the promo code Otis. Are you into being a vegan? Blue Foods Protein Bites, 6 bars per container, $10.99 with the promo code Otis. You are not going to find deals any better than this, folks. MyStore.com, support entrepreneurs. Support my son Otis with the promo code Otis. All proceeds go to my son Otis. That's why I have the promo code Otis. Go to MyStore.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis. This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
That's what love is. Like that. Yeah.
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made a bit for me to lie?
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Coming up next, we continue our weekly series of the ongoing project happening where we're taking a good old-fashioned get on a great big convoy across the USA convoy semi-truck and combining it with an EV battery, a semi-truck gas combustion, possibly engine, with possibly an EV battery. I say possibly because a lot's changed in the last several months, primarily because of the rise of agriculture equipment and also the Chinese supply chain. This is Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations, giving us an update on Evolution Hybrid.
So the electric side of that, it's not really feasible, and they know that. But I could tell that there was a lot of emphasis placed on what could we do to see this move into the ag industry more. There was a huge presence for solar there, and that was really interesting.
In what way was the solar there? Was it there from the irrigation side? Was it there from, you know, feeding the chickens at a certain time or lighting or, you know, I guess what way was the solar presence there?
Yeah, maybe all the above. There was okay. A lot of residential solar resellers there. And then there was no manufacturers. It looked like there was a lot of companies reselling equipment. And just between me and you, one other thing that I was really evident is I could tell that I even talked with an individual from Volvo. So Volvo and Mack, they had a truck there that was all electric, which was really neat. It was over $700,000, which it blew my mind. Just knowing what components cost, you could tell they put a lot of R&D in it and they were trying to recover some of that R&D. I didn't think it was really practical. I talked to the salesman there. I don't know if he knew a whole lot about the truck in all reality. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but you know, as far as kilowatt hours, it maybe had a 250 mile range or less. And then Mack had a what looked to be a it was a trash removal truck, you know, like a sanitation or trash removal truck there that was electric. And
can I ask another question? Yeah. So the two or three examples you just gave, okay, like, are you talking about a sanitation EV truck?
Yes. Yeah.
So do they have one, or do they have, you know, 100 of them? I guess what level of inventory do they have? Because it's great if I have one of them, and then if I get an order for 1,000 of them, but I don't have the supply chain set up to satisfy my orders, well, I'm just setting myself up for a very slow die on the vine type of a thing, unless I can keep getting investors that pump money into our human capital and government grants pumping into our human capital. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So two problems I see with it, and you're right. So right there at the show, I could tell that they were pushing to manufacture those. There's several different companies right now based out of California. So Right Speed is a really big one that I see. That guy's, he's brilliant. He's got, they developed trash trucks a while back that were using, they used a gas turbine engine as a generator so they could have a range extension device, and they could charge batteries off of it. And then if they came back to the home dock, they could charge that way. I think it's a good concept, but if you move enough trash trucks, so at one point in time, several California provinces and counties were saying that they wanted to ban, because of trash trucks and like FedEx and UPS or the mail delivery trucks, they wanted to, maybe ban's not the word, they just wanted to push them out to where they would have these route trucks or route vehicles would be all electric. But I think that you and I have already discussed this, Jason. The infrastructure necessary to charge one of these trucks is there, and maybe even 10 in a county. When you start charging 50 and 100 delivery trucks and trash trucks, it would be damaging to the infrastructure. And California's already pushed it really hard with the other EV vehicles. So that's one big problem. The other big thing I see, and this might be for future discussion, do you know that there's not trained technicians for these vehicles yet? I was an instructor. I worked at a junior college for 8 years to train it to individuals to be diesel technicians. That you need to, you've got to have people go through training programs. We don't have that yet. I've talked with Kenley kind of extensively about a training program for EV heavy duty class 5 through 8 trucks. We don't have trained or skilled technicians in that field yet. Kenworth, Peterbilt, Freightliner, they've all worked hard to get skilled technicians within dealerships to work on some of their hybrid vehicles and electric class 5 vehicles. It's not there. We're struggling to have trained technicians in just the class 8, you know, ICE engine industry, the conventional trucks. I think that what we'll see is we could have these developed and emerge and they're there and available. But the first time they break down, pretty soon we'll have a bone heap if we don't have technicians there and infrastructure in that regard to maintain them. So definitely some issues there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there really is. So what is your bottom line when it comes to the supply chain? I mean, we're talking about there's might be some, you know, favoritism or picking and choosing of where the rare earth minerals are going. We have just the fact of merging and acquisitions and different still people trying to streamline after COVID, if you will. There's a myriad of examples for issues and that sort of thing. What's kind of the takeaway from the supply chain issue from where you are trying to put together an electric hybrid of a semi-engine and a gas combustion engine and a EV battery type of a system?
Yeah, what we're seeing right now is that so Panasonic's large producer of the lithium iron phosphate batteries and lithium ion batteries. So what they're pushing towards is they want to go towards manufacturers like Tesla. And then some of the other larger manufacturers that are, some of them are utilizing their own battery technology, which is not built in-house. The truth is, Jason, most of it comes from China. They're probably 15 years ahead of us on the electric vehicle spectrum. because they've used EVs for so long in different larger cities in China. They've got a lot of manufacturers there. They pushed that agenda for a lot longer than we have. So the truth is, a lot of it's coming out of there. You know, I talked with Eaton and Allison reps both on their e-axles for class 5 through class 8 trucks. And they want to supply to the larger manufacturers in North America, the larger EV truck manufacturers. So like Freightliner, Kenworth. If you look at the specs on all of their hybrid and battery electric trucks, they are all using Eaton axles or Allison axles. Some of Rockwell makes some. But just between me and you, I think a lot of the technology has come from different companies in China, and there's a lot of mixing. Allison at one point said that they're making axles for a company in China, and I almost wondered if it was the other way around, where, you know, they were kind of going back and forth with parts. But it definitely looks like they're favoring a lot of these large.
To listen to the full-length interview with Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations, or to check out other exclusive interviews or other parts of the Evolution Hybrid series, Evolution Hybrid, check out thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Be sure to sign up for our Substack daily news, thecrudelife.substack.com. Coming up next, we got some barbecue tips here on The Crude Life. Who knows barbecue better than oil and gas professionals? Folks, my name is Jason Spies. This is The Crude Life Week in Review. Was ever just a wasted breath of my hits, living in my head, making a home in places that you lit my hope. I've never been so close to coming for rain.
Sean Quickslow, G-Style Trucking.
G-Style Trucking. What are you cooking today?
Ribs. Lots and lots of ribs.
Now, are you with the company, or are you one of those ringers they bring in from out of state?
Anybody listening, is it?
No. Not my shows, no.
No, I work for G-Style.
Okay. Okay, you're cooking ribs now. Tell me what you're doing to the ribs.
That's kind of a trade secret. But a little bit of apple juice, brown sugar, this other stuff.
So, how about what kind of wood are you using?
Hickory.
Why hickory?
It's got a little bit of a sweeter taste. I use just not much. Usually I use a lot of oak for heat, and then I just add a little hickory to it.
Hickory gives a little bit of different flavor, yeah. I guess. Yeah, so, okay. You mentioned you got a rub on there. Is that right?
Homemade rub.
How long do you marinate it, all that good stuff?
Put the rub on about an hour and a half, 2 hours before I cook.
And then are you more of a slow and low or high
low and slow? Low and slow. These things have been going since 7 o'clock this morning.
And what kind of tips do you got for aspiring smokers out there?
Watch a lot of YouTube.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. It's your glow. I've never
been so close. Folks, if you haven't checked out the newest products at mystore.com, you're going to want to do it today. Insect repelling lotion stick, all natural, only $9.99 with the promo code Otis. Pure chocolate energy chews with caffeine, $24.99 with the promo code Otis. Are you into being a vegan? Blue Foods Protein Bites, 6 bars per container, $10.99 with the promo code Otis. You are not going to find deals any better than this, folks. MyStore.com. Support entrepreneurs. Support my son, Otis, with the promo code Otis. All proceeds go to my son, Otis. That's why I have the promo code Otis. Go to MyStore.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis. This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it. But I could write a book, call it Made You Look. Leave it up to me, can I let it be? Cause I know I should. Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you folks for joining us. Coming up next, we head out to the Marcellus Utica Appalachia Shale Play. Talk with Joe Sinnott with Whiting Partners and the host of the Energy Detox Podcast. This is Joe Sinnott.
It would, but I'm going to add another word to accountability and expectations, which, again, are important. That's, again, I use the word expectations multiple times there before you built off of that. But I'm going to add another one, and it is connectedness. So when I think about ESG, in particular the G, the governance, it's connectedness, it's connection, and it's people understanding how they are connected to that mission statement that you said should be behind the receptionist desk. Because when people have that connection, when they can see how their day-to-day responsibilities connect to the bottom line, again, it fuels people, right? And if you're asking those questions, maybe they see how they're disconnected and they can see how they can better connect to the bottom line, why their job makes a difference. Because once you see that connection, you can do your job more effectively, right? You can help other people do their job more effectively. But one of the biggest things in companies is that, you know, your average employee cannot articulate how he or she is connected to that mission. Lots of employees can maybe dance around it or whatever, but you know, it's a huge percentage of people that are going through the motions. They have their specific role, right? They can, you know, they can go on LinkedIn or the resume and they can say what they do and what they manage and the projects they've done. But can they succinctly connect how their role, regardless of what it is? Again, whether they're out in the field, engineer, geologist, accountant, human resources, you know, the CEO, how are they connected to the company's bottom line, Jason? That's governance right there. Because when you have people that can see how they're connected and in turn how, see how others are connected, well, what's that going to do? That's going to lead to accountability. You're going to look for opportunities to correct situations where those connections are severed or ruptured or thin. That's accountability. And from an expectation standpoint, if I'm connected to the bottom line and the company meets bottom line results, then I should expect to be compensated or rewarded as such. So that's it. It's that connection piece. And again, for those who I've worked with either individually or in some group settings here, you've probably heard me get up on my soapbox and talk about, you know, the fact that that G, that governance, is really just connection. And when companies are, you know, struggling from a cultural standpoint, which again ties very much to all of the mental health stuff that we kicked things off with, it by and large is because those connections are not there. And quite frankly, it's because, you know, many times people at the top don't realize how disconnected their message that they have nice and polished in many cases and that they're out there talking about, they don't realize how, you know, how little of that message is flowing down to the entire workforce. So again, disconnection. That's the key, and that's what can leave people feeling, again, stuck and in turn, you know, not in a very good spot when it comes to mental health and burnout and overwhelm and all of those things, Jason.
To listen to the full-length interview with Joe Sinnott with Whiting Partners or to check out his podcast, the Energy Detox Podcast, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Crude Life is also available on Substack. Daily updates, paid and free subscriptions at thecrudelife.substack.com. That's going to do it for the Crude Life Week in Review this week. We'll be back next week at this time on this radio station. We'd like to thank Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations, Dr. Lauren C. Scott with Dr. Lauren C. Scott and Associates, Joe Sinnott, the host of the Energy Detox Podcast, as well as the owner of Whiting Partners. All of our great barbecue tips from our oil and gas professional pitmasters. And Mr. Terry Edom, Canada's greatest export, with an update north of the border. All of those interviews can be found in their entirety at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Please remember to support Elma Cook, hearelma.com. She is the singer-songwriter that writes and produces the music heard on The Crude Life, as well as is an oil and gas professional with Cook Compliance Solutions. She is a compliance specialist, Cook Compliance Solutions. On the way out, we're going to listen to about 30 seconds of Elma Cook with her hit single, 5,000 Candles, which was inspired by the Bakken oil field. Folks, my name is Jason Spies. That's going to do it for the Crude Life Week in Review from the staff here at The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Now let's turn up a little Elma Cook. Hey,
you the way that I do, because who could love somebody like you? They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to behold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never want to leave.
Now for an update from the Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
Greetings and salutations. It's the Earth's champion, Johnny Green, with another update from the Crude Life. Today we talk with another heavyweight in the oil and gas industry with the name Roe Patterson. TM Roe Patterson grew up in the oil and gas industry. He's written a book called Crude Blessings, The Amazing Life Story of Glenn Patterson, an American Oil Man. This is much more than one son's homage to his dad. Crude Blessings is a way of life. This is Roe Patterson, author of Crude Blessings.
Right before the UTI Patterson merger, I decided that I wanted to go out on my own and really start treading my own water and, you know, doing my own path. And so I went out and started some businesses, oilfield related, on my own. And I did that for about 5 years. When I decided to sell those businesses and to really cash out, I really didn't know what I was going to do next. But the company I work for today, Basic Energy Services, had become a very large client of mine. I built a lot of equipment for them and had gotten to know the CEO very well. And so he and I were friends, and he talked me into coming to work for the company. And the rest is history. Now I run that company today, and now I'm the CEO of that company and have been since 2013. So been here almost 13 years, and it's been a great choice. I'm glad I chose Basic as a home. Basic was a lot like Patterson Drilling in the early days. Employee minded, very similar ethics, similar kind of integrity and core values to the company, and that attracted me. I was used to that with Patterson, and so when I came to Basic, it was like riding a bike. I enjoyed how similar the companies were.
To listen to the full length interview with Roe Patterson or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is now available on Substack, thecrudelife.substack.com. From the entire championship staff here at The Crude Life, my name is Johnny Green, the Earth's champion, reminding each and every one of you, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Go make it a championship day.
The Crude Life Media Network, the most trusted voice in energy.
Slip into summer with some all-season slippers from my store, available at $25 with the promo code OTIS. Save 30% with the Tick Patrol Tick Remover with the promo code OTIS. Pure Energy Chocolate Chews, save $5 with the promo code OTIS. The Bionic Grip, replace 13 wrenches, save 20% with the promo code OTIS. Folks, go to mystore.com, mypillow.com, use the promo code OTIS, go to mystore.com, go to mypillow.com, use the 800 number, 800-598-4268, that's 800-598-4268, and don't forget to use the promo code OTIS.